Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview. Alex Dunn here, joined on the line by Andy Holding to look ahead to Dundalk on Friday evening. Yes, it's Friday already. Well done, you've made it. And we've got a pretty good card to look forward to as well from Dundalk. Seven races, starting at 6:05. Good morning, Mr. Holding, how are you?
Good morning, Alex. Yes, all is well here at Holding Towers.
Good. Good to hear. All good at William Hill Towers as well. It's a feel-good Friday.
Apart from watching the cricket this morning.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't wake up for that.
No, exactly. I was going to stay up and watch it last night, but I think that was the best decision I ever made not to.
Very, very good decision indeed, yeah. Embarrassing, wasn't it?
Oh, shocking.
Well, let's hope that we can put a smile back on your face with a few winners at Dundalk. As I said, seven races to look forward to, and it's competitive stuff, but there's some nice performers here.
Yeah, that seven furlong handicap is an absolute mouthwatering affair. Say all the best six furlong strokes, seven furlong in-form runners have made the gig. So that'll be a good clash between that lot.
Mm.
And there's some other horses as well that have been a bit unlucky of late and may have just been slightly underestimated and slipped under the radar. So we'll try and have a good go tonight.
Okay. Right, well, we'll start with the 6:05, which is a maiden over seven furlongs. At the time of recording, we're 3-1 the field, so it does have an open look to it. We'll start with the second favourite at the time of recording, Andy, which is Cutting Corners. Obviously, when you look at it in a race like this, it's obviously a maiden. You've got a lot of horses there that are pretty thoroughly exposed. Cutting Corners strikes you as the only one that isn't fully exposed, that boasts some solid form so far.
Yeah, she's been a little bit lucky on her first two starts. Most notably last time out, you did suggest, because Have a Great Day was coming off the back of a layoff. We didn't really know where we stood with Andrew Oliver's charge, but as it turned out, Cutting Corners faced an impossible task, trying to beat a horse who, on the night, was spectacular in the latter stages, ran sub 35 seconds down the lane, and then next time out, followed up Have a Great Day did. In even more impressive fashion, and a handicap of 78, again running a very, very good time. So she was up against a horse who's now rated 87, and at the time, you probably thought, well, you know, she could be up against an 80-rated horse. So she's probably run to somewhere in the mid-70s there. That's just a very, very rough guide to what she's achieved. And that would, you would say, looking at the ratings that she's up against tonight, the horses up against tonight, that one might be good enough. Horses like Prairie Rose and Shoo Shoo Sugartown are sort of like 60 to mid-60s, and Mystical Past is the only other one I could throw into the equation as a possible here, and I would probably just favour Mystical Past here, despite the rating being a little bit lower than the one that Cutting Corners already achieved, largely due to a much better run here last time out in the first time, Blinkers. It was a race that was run at a very strong pace. It set it up for the closers, and Singapore Secret, who was a big outsider, may have caused a bit of a shock, but judged on the time, there didn't appear to be anything wrong with that form or that race at all. They went through the line in a very slick speed figure. And Mystical Pass was one of those horses in the race that was responsible for that pace generation. Missed the start, but chased a very, very hot pace, got to the front, turning into the home straight, went clear, looked like that she was finally going to get off the mark until getting worn down by, like I say, a strong finisher. Dropping back in trip, from a gain another good draw. If she can get an uncontested lead, or not hassle for the lead this time, there's a good chance that Mystical Pass could see this one out here tonight. So that's the way I'm going to go. Mystical Pass, if you can get an each-way price, a couple of firms have gone 4-1, 9-2 this morning, that would be the way I'd go in the first.
Okay, Mystical passed in the opener. The next race is the 6:35, which is a handicap over 7. Competitive, Andy. Not the strongest race that you'll see, but plenty of performers turning up in good nick. And the fact that we are 5-1 the field at the time of recording suggests that you can have a nice each-way run for your money here.
Yeah, I was just totting this up this morning. I think I've tipped 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of these throughout the all-weather Dundalk Winter Series. So whichever one I leave alone, of course, out of that lot that goes and wins, I'm going to claim that I had something to do with its kind of like, you know, its past, and probably would be in full of regret and remorse. But I'm going to go with Shabba Emperor, a horse that regular podcasters anyway will know that I've been waxing lyrical about in recent times. And that performance on the 12th of December still ranks one of the most amazing performances from a lowly rated horse here at Dundalk throughout the winter. A quite extraordinary time was achieved by Anthony McCann Sixer that night, running faster than Captain Joy, Tracy Collins's charge. Of course, he's rated near enough 100. I think runs in, has been running in listed company recently. So where Shabba Emperor found that kind of time from was quite amazing. Certainly performance-wise, Shabba Emperor's always been capable of doing that. He's not our kind of horse that will go back-to-back and run up a string of you know, high-class performances. I think he bounced off of that run the next time when he ran about a month later. But it was largely due also to the fact that that night when he ran, everything was off the front. It was a race that Stoichkov went off in front and Ninny OK tracked him. And those that were in and around the pace, it certainly dominated. And Shabba Emperor was way, way back turning in. I think he had one horse behind him turning for home and he ended up finishing seventh. Actually wasn't too bad of a run considering track position, like I say, and how the track was riding. But tonight, totally different ball game. He's drawn in stall one and hopefully tonight he'll race a little bit further up the field and closer to the pace, and it won't be that the front runners have such a dominant saying matters tonight. I do think Shabba Emperor's a better horse when he's given a bit of space in the home straight. So either he goes up the inside and when the cutaway opens, or if Ross Coakley can do so, get him a little bit wider off that inside, which can be done, of course, with a false rail. So all in all, I do think Shabba Emperor, if he's on song, has got the legs of this lot. There's no doubt about that. Nothing can run faster than him, as that run proved two starts ago, if he's in that kind of form. Let's just hope that the right Shabba Emperor turns up tonight.
OK, fair enough. 7:05 is race number 3 on the card. 7 furlongs to trip once again for this handicap. And it's a fantastic race, this one, Andy. Plenty of runners arriving in superb form. Watch your days as well. Have a great day and have a nice day. Similar colours. Two horses again in form, but there's plenty that you could make a case for here, Andy. Which one are you going to side with?
Yeah, this is the acid test for Have a Great Day and connections of this horse. They've obviously cracked on with him quite quickly while he's in great nick. He's clearly in the form of his life at the moment. He's in a really good place. And there's no denying his two victories have been hugely impressive on the eye. And last time out, the clock also didn't lie either. 84 was my overall time I got him doing over 6 furlongs here. But 33 and change down the lane, he's always very, very good. And he was a worthy winner, but this is much more difficult. These are the big boys he's up against now, the proper 7 furlong handicappers. And of course, he's yet to run over tonight's distance as well, which is also another slight question mark. And considering he's only 3-1, roughly, this morning, I'm certainly going to look elsewhere for my bet here. And there's a couple of horses that are true 7 furlong specialists here at Dundalk, and I think one of them will probably take this. Because they run in these kind of races on a regular basis and used to running over this trip at a very fast speed. And that's Indian Landing and Fastidious, currently available to back around about 5-1, stroke 6-1, respectively, this morning. I'll start with Indian Landing. Won his last two starts, so he's obviously in great nicks, very similar to Have a Great Day. But the key component to him, he's got plenty of 7 furlong form previously. His form figures here read 1-2-3-1-3-1, yet to finish out the frame in 6 starts over tonight's course and distance. Pat Smullen gets on with him really well. And he's got a very good turn of foot down the lane as well when required. So he's the number one choice, but I can't leave this race alone without mentioning Fastidious. Comes from a yard in blinding form. He also has got fantastic form over tonight's distance. He's got form figures of 1-2-3, 2-2, and unfortunately an 8, a big blob on the card. I don't know where that came from, but he's much more reliable nowadays. Good draw for Michael O'Cameron, six-year-old. Donico O'Brien on board to take seven off. Good win here the last day with an apprentice on as well in a decent time. He's very much a reliable, as you're going to find, over seven furlongs as well tonight. So those two are my against the field. Indian Landing and Fastidious in the 7.05.
Okay, Indian Landing and Fastidious there in a fantastic race, the 7.05. The 7.35 is next up, and it's a filly's maiden over a mile. Potentially some pretty smart types in here, Andy. It's certainly not the worst maiden that you'll ever see. But at the time of recording, pretty tight at the head of affairs, but just at 9-4, just heading affairs, is Petit Adagio for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen, a horse out of Cape Cross. You've got Bairns at Bay next in at 5-2. Wouldn't surprise me if they flip-flop a little bit throughout the day. But the fact that we do have the nine runners means that, you know, this race could potentially be open up for some each-way value as well.
Yeah, not a race at this stage I'd like to call with a great deal of confidence. There are one or two unknown quantities when I'm dealing with this race this morning which prevent me putting up something of a solid nature anyway. We'll begin with the favourite, likely favourite, Barnes at Bay, who's got the form here already on the board for Jura Lions. Funny enough, Jura hasn't had a particularly productive winter other than Tennessee Wildcat. It's been quite quiet for this stable this year, and this horse's efforts have been rather indicative of that. Certainly good runs by this big bad Bob filly, but nothing yet in the winner's column. Good run last time out behind Avenue Montagna, who's obviously a very useful horse in her own right. And that was a win, of course, that evening for Paul Deegan. And when Deegan has one that's fancied in a maiden, they're always very difficult to beat. And I thought Barnes at Bay ran perfectly respectably, keeping on one pace late on, up to a mile tonight. Likely to go well because of its track experience. But then you've got the unknown quantities. You've got Petit Adagio, a rare runner at this time of year for Dermot Weld. But we know that Dermot Weld had a fantastic year with most of his runners, particularly in these famous colours as well, filly by Cape Cross. She's bred to obviously like this all-weather surface. You've then got a horse from the very much upwardly mobile stable of Mark O'Callaghan called Magnificent. If that horse lives up to its name, it could be very interesting. Michael's had a really good year here at Dundalk. He hasn't had many runners, but you know, he's left a tale of destruction in behind him here with these runners. He's had Letters of Note, Fastidious, Clutching at Straws, Aggression and Indian Tomahawk as well. They've all been winners, and winners of maidens as well. So do keep your eye on the market on that Magnificent. No money as yet for him, but he is a 12-1 poke with William Hill, and that could look absolutely huge if he's up to the standard of the ones that have run before him from the stable. So, in summary, Barnes at Bay is very much the one to beat on form, but those would be the two I'd be keeping my eye on throughout the morning, and particularly in the build-ups of the off, Petit Adagio, and more importantly, that Magnificent.
Okay, interesting race there. The maiden coming up at 7.35. The 8.05 is next up, and it's apprentice handicap over 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. Plenty of money this morning, Andy. We're recording this about 10:30. Plenty of money for Eloge for the Oliver stable. 11-4 into 7-4 as we speak. Another race where, you know, Eloge obviously has strong claims, but the fact that he's been well backed, or she's been well backed rather, I should say, really does open it up from an each way point of view if you are that way inclined.
Yeah, I'd like to start off with a little bit of a personal sob story with Eloge. I actually tried to acquire this horse at the horses in training sale at Newmarket not so long ago, but myself and the Quins went to have a look at her, and we just didn't feel as though she was very correct in front. She got a very, very scratchy action with her that day. She was just a bit, stiff, as it were, coming off the horse walk. I don't know, but she didn't really stride out. It meant that I let her go, and she only went for $3,000. And much to my horror, her next two runs, she's probably, if you like, made me regret that not acquiring her, because that run last time out here at Dundalk over a mile and a half was an excellent one. Another fantastic return from this ultra-consistent polytrack performer. She got a terrible ride by Chrissy Haynes the time before, when everything that could go wrong did go wrong. But you've only got to go back to any of those runs recently, the well-insured second and the victory over course and distance back in October, to know that Eloge, when she's on song, is a very, very useful little filly. She's not overly big, but she's very tough. She's probably the percentage call here, but she's a terrible price this morning. I wouldn't want to be backing at 7-4. Hopefully she might ping out to a much bigger price close to the off. But either way, she does set the standard. One to keep an eye on at a much, much bigger price. This is for the more speculative amongst you. And that's a traction ticket, a much bigger price than the front end of the market. 16 to 1 currently with William Hill this morning. And I mention this horse because this horse pulled off a bit of a shock here last year when winning off a bit of a break. So obviously Bess went fresh, subsequently disappointed thereafter, but I'm hoping that this horse might just be able to do what he did first time off the shelf last time. Donnacha O'Brien's been booked. Peter Fye's horse has been in good form over jumps throughout the winter. So even though I've got a bit of a soft spot and an allegiance to Eloge, I just think she's a bit too short for me at time of writing at 7-4. So let's look towards attracting ticket to give us a bit more fun at a much bigger price.
Okay, attraction ticket. Attraction ticket, even. Good job I'm not a commentator. 8.05. The pick there with Donnacha O'Brien on board. The 8.35 is next up. It's race 6 on the card. And it is the penultimate race. It's a handicap over a mile and a half. You've got well insured in here off top weight, Andy. A horse that has been in good form. But the two at the head of affairs at the time of recording are Asian Wing and Polka Gold. Two horses that haven't been in superb form. Interesting to see, we've halved in price this morning. Krakora opened up at 10s. Now 5-1, Shamie Heffernan getting the ride on that one. Which one do you fancy here?
Well, I don't fancy Poker Gold. This would be the most obvious horse I'd want to take on tonight at a short price. He just ran so badly first time up for Willie Mullins. Normally this stable's renowned for having winners first time up from other stables. And the market suggested he was a penalty kick. He went off 2-1. It's not as if this horse was unfound in the market. They really did fancy this horse off a mark of 64, but he ran terrible. So unless my eyes are deceiving me, or they've swapped the horse over in the stable box, I don't think Poker Gold will be winning here tonight. So that leaves the door wide open for a bit of value against him. And I'm going to chuck a couple in at the field against the field here. Well insured would have to be the number one choice. This 11-year-old has been a real revelation of late. He's won his last two starts after taking forever to get off the mark. Eventually, the penny dropped and he got his head in front six starts back. But he's just so strong down the lane that he's got to be a factor. He's come from miles behind on more than one occasion to be, racing through the line in the last 500 yards. And if he's anywhere near at the furlong pole, then the rest need to look out because there's been nothing finishing stronger. So at 9-2, he rates the each-way bet. But do keep an eye on one at much, much bigger odds. Again, this one's just a bit of a speculator. I'm in that kind of mood tonight. Jalika. He's one worth keeping an eye on from the Mark Fahey stable, filly by Diamond Green. She's just had the one run here at Dundalk, and it came in that race. It was won by Bish and Betty in that very, very fast time back on the 23rd of Jan. That race has worked out really well. We know that Bish and Betty's probably one of the most unluckiest horses in training here recently and should have followed up next time out. Moss Nation's run well in defeat in second, and so has Fairy Fox Club, who's been a model of consistency. But I like the way this Jalika just finished off her race very, very quietly up the inside rail, not being noticed by many, but went through the line quite strong, having got hampered down the home straight. Certainly worth a try up to a mile and a half. It's a bit of a guess and has got a bad draw, but you do get 20-25 to one for your money if you're prepared to look outside the box for this one. So those are my two against the field here against Poker Gold. I'm going to go with Well Insured, who should run his race yet again, and also Jalika at a much bigger price.
Okay, the final race comes up at 9.05, handicap over 2 miles for amateur jockeys. A few in here that you wouldn't expect, maybe, to be running in a Dundalk handicap, Andy, but that doesn't mean that they don't have a chance. McNicholson, 5-2 market leader at the time of recording, from Darwin's Fox at 100-36, is all bigger the rest. Where should we start here?
I'll start with McNicholson. Again, another horse I've got a massive amount of time for. Not very big, a little bit of a pocket dynamo, but he's very, very strong and he likes fast ground. He's a horse that's very consistent as well. He hardly ever puts a foot wrong. He runs regularly on the flat in Ireland out of jumps as well. I think he's been probably prepared, especially for something in the near future, in the spring, perhaps one or two of these bigger hurdles that are coming up at the festivals. His last three runs over hurdles, he's finished he's finished second behind Portrayed, Rich Coast and Plinth respectively. He's yet to run here at Dundalk, but to all intents and purposes, this surface should be absolutely ideal for a horse who doesn't want his hooves slipping around on soft, wet turf. So I think this is a good tactical move here by Jessica Harrington to run him on the all-weather. Judged by the activity in the market as well this morning, he's very much expected to go very well and would be my selection because I like him anyway. The other one to obviously bear in mind is Havelock Ellis. who's been, a revelation, like quite a few horses throughout the campaign, this Dundalk series. He's had three wins, and one of them's come over course and distance as well. That was two starts ago. Incidentally, ridden by tonight's jockey as well, Paddy O'Neill. So that could be very significant as well with those two teamed up against each other. So Mick Nicholson's the choice. He's been well-backed. He's a favourite of mine, and hopefully he will send home favourite backers on good terms.
OK, Mick Nicholson, the pick in the Lucky Last. Good stuff, Mr Holding. Thanks for your time, and we'll speak to you again on Sunday.
Look forward to it. Cheers, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.